Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Yeah, it's the Chuck and Julie Show, but Chuck and Julie are off. They're probably getting ready for next week in the midterms, and they're taking a well-deserved day off. I'm Karen Cataline, and it is such a pleasure and an honor to sit in for Chuck and Julie. I have had the pleasure of getting to know more than a few talk show hosts, and few have the loyalty and the loyal audience that Chuck and Julie have. And there's a reason for that, because they're fun to watch. So not only that, but today is Party Friday. I love that. I love when they do Party Friday. And I have a couple things to talk about on Party Friday. And I have some other thoughts. And then I'm going to play some videos about the midterms that I think are particularly humorous, fun, and entertaining, and invite your comments. Some of them you may have seen. We don't have a ton, but we have a couple that I think are worth talking about. First, a couple thoughts about Fridays. Now, I do a show on Friday, and so I always talk about a couple of these things. Not only I hope you're drinking something fun, whatever it may be, alcoholic or non-alcoholic, either way, but one of the things I'd like to plug is Good News Friday. If you have never seen Sidney Powell's site, it's called defendingtherepublic.substack.com. You can get her website and get on her newsletter. And every Friday, she puts out a Good News Friday list. Sometimes it's not the greatest. There's not enough good news, but there's always good news. And nobody is a better optimist, realistic optimist that I know than Julie Hayden. You know, she's always looking at the bright side, but that doesn't mean that she doesn't have a realistic view of some of the challenges, I guess you could say, that we are facing. But I highly recommend defendingtherepublic.substack.com. And if you subscribe to their newsletter, you will get Good News Friday along with everything else. The other thing I love is something that Catherine Austin Fitz told me about when I interviewed her, called Cash Friday. And it doesn't always have to be just Friday, but whenever you can pay cash in order to preserve the cash system, preserve an anonymity in commerce, let's do it. So I like to pay cash on Friday. Let's bring back cash, especially those people who desperately want to monitor every purchase we make, every bank transaction we make. I think it was Laura Logan, very smart journalist, who said we are in a, this is the surveillance society right now. You can't have much freedom when you're constantly being surveilled and of course censored. So Cash Friday, pay cash on Friday, or if you want, pay cash on Tuesday or Thursday or Sunday as well. So I thought about a couple of videos. One of the reasons I think it's so much fun to play a video for everyone is because I don't get to do that on my show. My show is audio only. I'm a great fan of audio talk radio, so I don't do a lot of video. Obviously, I don't look like Megyn Kelly, although Megyn Kelly, I guess she's coming back now, but I don't aspire to look like Megyn Kelly. And there are great values to audio talk radio alone. But I also love that Chuck and Julie do a video show where you can see them and put people on camera. We're going to have a guest, a short guest, who's going to do about 15 minutes later in the hour. But now I came across something that affects all Coloradans. Certainly as a former Coloradan, I loved this very controversial campaign commercial. I would love if you would call or just unmute yourself and tell me what you think about this. This is called a fake ad, but which is correct. I mean, fake but accurate ad. You may have seen it. I'm enjoying it. Megyn Kelly, good looking. I'm not going to say that, but someone says on the comments, fun to watch and always on top of the truth. That is so true. From Donna, Dr. Donna. Hi, Dr. Donna. Fun to watch and always on top of the truth. That is certainly true, Donna, and cash is king. So let's play this audio number one, fake but accurate campaign commercial. Go.
And now, a message from Colorado Governor Jared Polis.
Hi, I'm Colorado Governor Jared Polis. You, the voter, have a tough decision to make on November 8th. Now, before you go to the polls or mail in your ballot, I'd like to ask you for a small favor. Please disregard the fact that our state is a total mess, and let me buy your vote instead. Never mind the rising murder rate, record-setting car thefts, overdoses, and homelessness. Let's just pretend that that stuff doesn't exist. I put a lot of people out of business during COVID, but we don't need to talk about that. Or the fact that I kept kids out of school, and now youth suicides have skyrocketed. Let's just forget about solving the problems that I helped create and get back to drinking craft beer, which has shot up in price because of inflation. I mean, we lead the nation in that too, but shh. I mean, the truth is my opponent, Heidi Gnall, would make a great governor. She's a real problem solver, but she can't buy your vote like I can. I spent over $23 million to buy your vote before, and I'm happy to do it again. So, help me keep the woman down, Colorado. Forget about the serious issues we face, and let me buy your vote on November 8th.
I miss Colorado, ladies and gentlemen, I really do. But you know what? I miss Colorado the way it was when it was the beautiful state of Colorado. I don't miss what's happened to it. So there was not Jared Polis, right? And somebody's in the waiting room. Let me see who that is. Yes. I'm not used to this YouTube stuff, but I'm loving every minute of it. Okay. So on that commercial you saw, it said, not actually Jared Polis. The real Jared Polis would never be this honest with you. Now, if you have any comments about this commercial, is it misleading? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Have you seen it before? Do tell if you, someone says, Donna says, Polis believes himself to be king. Well, that's certainly true. Honesty like that would almost work. I don't think it would work because I don't think we would want to vote for that. I'm also interested if you'd like to unmute yourself, or if you're watching on some other medium, you can call 888-627-6008 and just do audio. That's 888-627-6008. I love call-in talk radio. It is what makes talk radio so special. It's immediate, it's interactive, and you can't talk back to your television. You can go on Twitter, but so far Twitter hasn't been all that honest. If I don't get any comments, I'll tell you what I think. I think it's hilarious, and I love the ad. The only thing is I knew pretty quickly it wasn't Jared Polis, because frankly, Jared Polis's voice is not that pleasant to listen to. And that's not his fault, but Jared Polis's voice is unpleasant, I guess you could say. But there is an arrogance there that has decided that he knows best for everyone. You know, he used to hang out at the Independence Institute and libertarian places. And I don't know if he was there and he ever learned anything. because he simply doesn't have a live and let live attitude. And that's what we are missing on and on, is a live and let live attitude. Okay, somebody said Cash Party Friday. I couldn't agree more. Cash Party Friday. So go out, buy your groceries in cash, and demand that we be that we preserve anonymous commerce. You know, we do not need to be monitored every ounce of our lives, except those bettors who think that they know better. They're going to make decisions for all of us, and it's the antithesis of what has made America what it is. Forgive me here. I'm just scrolling down to see if I've got, somebody says, never said I approve this message. I'm trying to scroll down so I can read your comments. I love that. Yes, anonymous commerce. What a concept. Remember when we used to be able to just simply buy and sell? I wonder, have you ever refused when someone, when you use your credit card, they know everything about you anyway, but have you seen when companies will ask you your phone number? I'm sorry, I don't give my phone number. And if they need my phone number in order for me to make a purchase, I'll purchase elsewhere. And that kind of defiance is honestly what we need more of today. The defiance of recognizing that caring less about what people think and standing on principle. And I think we're beginning to see that a great deal. Another thing just to mention here, COVID was mentioned in that ad. And I don't know if you have been noticed this, but the Atlantic, it's unbelievable. The Atlantic magazine, a very, very lefty magazine, called for amnesty for all the people that robbed us of our liberty, bullied and intimidated us, blamed us for the virus, said it was a Biden, the presidential potted plant. I could do 3 hours on COVID. And we all could, because we've all lived this nightmare, this horror. Now, I'm going to just tease who I have at the bottom of the hour. I was going to do just no guests at all, but there's somebody that I have interviewed for several times who lost his daughter in a hospital. She happens to have Down syndrome. And I asked him if he could tell the story in a sort of truncated way. And he's agreed to come on and tell you the story of his daughter and what happened to her and what was done to her. So when they say they want amnesty, COVID amnesty, number one, they're not asking for forgiveness. Nobody on the left who marched in goose step. Do you know, for heaven's sake, even in Texas, there are people running around with rags on their face because they've been so terrified, horrified by COVID that they're never going to take them off. They don't care how many times you tell them that the masks do nothing. They never did do anything, with the exception of telegraph to the rest of the world that you are gullible and willing to be controlled and manipulated and subjugated. That's pretty much what it is. And Jared Polis was at the head of the line. He wanted to be the top-notch mask Nazi. Yes, mask Nazi. It wasn't optional. Do you see conservatives, or not just conservatives, anybody who has half a brain? Have you seen chin diapers? Very good. Leo, thank you. Chin diapers. Do you see very many people bullying and intimidating people who insist on wearing rags on their face still three years later to take them off? Do you see anybody ripping off those masks? Well, I remember in Colorado itself, very much at the beginning, I refused, proud of it, would not wear a mask, would not shop at stores. I got kicked out of a Whole Foods market, both in Greeley and in Denver, for refusing to wear a mask. At one point, we led a very tiny protest in which I will never forget this. I will never forget this. Everybody has COVID stories. I hope people will tell their COVID stories and tell them loud and strong. If you want to get on the air and tell them, I'll tell you this story. So I got kicked out of Whole Foods. No, it used to be Sunflower Market, which is Sprouts. And Sprouts is a horrifying, lefty store. And so we did a tiny little protest very early on in the COVID scare, in which we got our little baskets, stood around, and then at one point, we decided to rip off our masks because they wouldn't let us in. And I had gauze, cheesecloth. It was hilarious, cheesecloth. But they didn't care as long as I looked as if I was obeying, which I wasn't. And we sang God Bless America and left. That's what we did. And I was pleased to see a lot of people do that afterwards. So the 10 days to flatten the curve, which became 3 years, and COVID jabs that people lost their jobs, numerous people died because of Fauci protocols, remdesivir was forced on them and they died. We're going to have a very sad video towards the end before I bring on my friend Scott Shara. And nobody wants to talk about this. As a matter of fact, people do want to talk about it, but we are being censored to talk about it. We're not allowed to talk about people dropping dead from sudden adult death syndrome. I have a video that, in fact, I just saw another one, and those videos are starting to come out. But as a general rule, I think people are finding out that any idea, any narrative, any thought or idea or story that cannot stand up to questions, to scrutiny, to disagreement is probably a lie. You know, that's the general thing. Is the radical left, which controls the Democrat Party, do they censor ideas about what movie to watch? Do they censor ideas about the fact that we used to all drink bottled water and Democrats hated Big Pharma? Now they love Big Pharma. Actually, they do censor that. But we know all the stories that they are censoring. And they've picked these stories on purpose because the narrative that they're telling and forcing on everyone is a lie. They suppressed information on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. They suppressed it. All I can say is, can you imagine in 1982 during the Tylenol scare, if the media didn't just suppress the information about arsenic and Tylenol, which killed about six people in Chicago in about 1982, if they suppressed that information? No. They felt it was their duty, and it was, to tell people to take that Tylenol off their shelves, throw it away, and don't use it. And just imagine if not only did they suppress that information, but they forced you to take tainted Tylenol or told you must take it or you're harming your neighbor by not taking it. It's incomprehensible. Lost their lives also as a result of the clot shot. Yes, and we're going to have a video about that. Jim, still see people alone in their car with a mask on. Hilarious. You know what, Jim? It's sad. It's horrifyingly sad. Dr. Donna, Jim, as well as riding a bike, running, and the like. Occasionally, what I'll do is I'll ask people, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? And they say no. And I say, why are you still wearing the mask? And they say, because I cannot get sick. Do you remember when people used to accept that the flu and colds were a fact of life? They didn't run around in masks that didn't work. And they didn't say, I can't get sick. I mean, We're in a time of hubris, ladies and gentlemen, where people think they can control the weather and they can control the common cold, but that's not really what's going on. And I think you guys know that. I know you know that. I know you know that. And that is, it was just a vehicle for controlling communism. Looks like Sherry is on the line, on line two. I love talking to Sherry. Hi, Sherry. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show.
Karen, I want to thank you for having this gentleman on as a guest. I think the story is so important because, you know, the guy that the libertarian guy brought up that we need to have a talk about the fact that Social Security and Medicaid are costing the government so much. And I think we need to have a discussion. Was COVID brought on in the nursing home things to eliminate people? And this guest that you brought on, he has the guts to say, yes, they're purposely killing people. The hospitals are making a lot of money by killing people. And it's the Medicaid, the Medicare, the Social Security people they want to get rid of.
Well, Well, I would say this is speculation, what you're saying. I think people have a right to ask those questions. And what makes people more suspicious than anything else is that we're not allowed to ask, we're not allowed to talk, we're not allowed to question. And there's only one side of the aisle that is censoring and suppressing and violating people's rights. And it ain't conservatives. You know what I'm going to do, Sherry? I want you to stay on the line. Are you watching or just listening audio?
I'm just listening on the phone right now. Well, but I can watch and just put you on mute here.
Okay. Thomas, if you could go ahead, because this is a very sad video, and there are many more out there if you know where to look. Sherry knows where to look because she's on top of this stuff. I'm going to ask Thomas to play this video. It's about 1.5 minutes. We'll have a nice humorous video at the end for you. But this one is heart-sicking, sick, sad. And it is in preparation for our guest, Scott Shara, to talk to us in about 8 minutes. Okay, let's go.
In 2016, America entered a time of darkness.
Number two, I apologize. I did a little early.
Video number a heart attack.
A high school football player has died
just hours after getting his second
dose of COVID vaccine.
After collapsing on the football field.
After collapsing in the middle of a game.
Collapsing during the game.
Collapsing on the tennis court.
Suddenly collapsing.
The player collapsed.
Collapsed and died.
Died after collapsing.
He collapsed.
He collapsed.
He collapsed.
It seems that there's a second player who's collapsed.
This is unusual.
Never seen anything like this.
Yes,
yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, what's happening?
That is the big question. What caused this?
There has been a sharp rise in unexplained deaths during the pandemic.
The number of deaths with unknown causes has gone up over the last 3 years.
Deaths that are not listed as COVID related.
I'm sorry, I'm feeling really dizzy.
Healthy young people are dying suddenly from a mysterious syndrome.
Sudden adult death syndrome.
SADS is an umbrella term to describe unexpected deaths in young people.
There is some evidence that some sort of delayed reaction to.
On top of that, there is heart inflammation. Myocarditis, which is now suddenly famous in neighborhoods across the country because everyone seems to know someone else's son who has it. In December of last year, researchers at Oxford found that, quote, myocarditis risk was increased during 1 to 28 days following a third dose of the vaccine. Associations were strongest in males younger than 40 years for all vaccine types. But you knew that because you're seeing it among people you know.
Unbelievable. What I'm going to do here, just because I can. Oh, shoot. I got to figure out how to do this here. Drat. I have, yes, maybe I do. Let's see if I can do this. I have a link to another video. By God, I did it. Look at that. Everyone who's listening, I just posted a link to a Rumble video that details, not all, but just some of the people that have died in the month of October 2022. Now, the reason we shouldn't have to say why we're talking about this, but we're living in a time in which life is being cheapened. Basically, life no longer seems to matter. Innocent life. No link shows on my end. Let me see if I can. I wrote guest speaker. I'm going to put it again here, and hopefully you can see it in blue. It says it's a, oh, wait, guest speaker. Hold on. I'm an everyone. Thank you. Hey, a technology grand. I don't like technology, frankly. I don't like technology that much, but let's use it to our advantage. By the way, thank you, Sherry. And Sherry, if you would send me an email, I've wanted to chat with you and a little bit. So Sherry, if you would go ahead and send me an email at Karen@KarenCataline.com, I would really appreciate it. So at least I have your contact information. So
that would be great. And yes, let me just say one quick thing. You need to look into medical assistance in dying in Canada, because now they think that because you have a mental disorder, they can kill you.
Sherry, it's all fitting into a pattern that is ugly, ugly, ugly. And we all know this, but I don't know why people's hair aren't on fire.
I know. But thank God for the guest you have. Thanks for the work he's doing. So
please stay tuned. He's in the room now. We're going to welcome him, and he is courageous. He'll give you away, and he's taken his grief, and he's done something with it, and he's talking about medical freedom. It is so critically important. What I just wanted to say is that thousands of elderly people in nursing homes died and were murdered in New York and in other Democrat states around the country. And for what? Can you imagine 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that this not being an outrage, a horror, to send a virus into the population that is most vulnerable, killing them off? Supposedly, it has been said, so that they can increase the numbers, scare more people into taking the jab. Now they're suppressing information about the deaths that people are dropping dead from. Before, they exaggerated the deaths. Now they're suppressing the information on the deaths. Anybody who still trusts these people, I don't know what kind of gullibility you have to have in order to do that. Now, am I concluding anything? No, I am not. I'm asking questions. And if you can't be an American today and ask questions and want answers from people who claim to represent you, anybody who participated in lockdowns, in forced vaccinations, in blaming people who were conscientious objectors. Remember when Democrats really loved conscientious objectors? Now, if you're a conscientious objector to an experimental shot, you're responsible for the virus. It is psychotic. That's what it is. We do have a lot of conversation going on, which I just love, but I want to bring on my friend, somebody that I've had on. He's on here, right? He's in the room. Thomas, let's bring on. Yes, he's right here. I've never seen him. I've only talked to him on the phone. But let me now tell you that I invited my friend, he's become a friend, Scott Shara, whose daughter, Grace, died in a hospital. And the story will curl your hair and is an example of the cheapening of life today. And I'm just going to stop, because every time I talk about it, I just get so upset. Scott Shara of OurAmazingGrace.net. Is that right, Scott?
That's right. Can you hear me okay, Karen?
Yes, I can see you. Welcome, welcome, Scott. Thank you for making this time. I know you're going to take time off with your family, so I can't thank you enough. And I asked you if you could give us a somewhat of a shortened story The story is much longer than we have time for, but just give us some of the highlights of this story that happened to your daughter, Grace, in a hospital.
So Grace was 19. She had Down syndrome, and we took her to the hospital on October 6th of 2021. She had COVID, and the symptom that she had was oxygen saturation at just below 90. She was at 88, 89%. She was doing fine, but we perceived that as an emergency. Ultimately, we took the emergency room doctor's advice, and she said we'd admit Grace to the hospital for 3-4 days, get her on oxygen and a steroid, and then she'll be fine. And if they would have just done that, done what they said they were going to do, Grace would be alive today, but they didn't do that. And I say that with 100% confidence because I went into a different hospital 3 days after Grace died, and they did treat me with that protocol and save my life. But with Grace, what they did instead is they put her first on a sedation med called Presidex. And Presidex is only supposed to be used for 24 hours. If you use it for more than 24 hours, it causes acute respiratory distress and failure. And if you look at Grace's death certificate, the first cause of death is acute respiratory failure, which was directly caused by the hospital using Presidex for more than 24 hours. Grace's last day on this earth was October 13th, and she was on that drug for 4.5 days at that point. At roughly 10:48 in the morning, they used an excuse of Grace wanting to get out of the bed to go to the bathroom, which interestingly, 2 hours earlier, the doctor had called us telling us how great of a day Grace had and said we should start working on nutrition. And we knew she had a great day the day before because our daughter Jessica was in the room and monitored her oxygen all night long. It was 98, 99%. I wasn't in the room at that time because they took me out by an armed guard 3 days earlier. Ultimately,
armed guard, ladies and gentlemen, they took you out of your daughter's room by armed guard. Had you rejected remdesivir, by the way?
Yes. So we rejected both the remdesivir and ventilator, which is why I believe they proceeded with what I'm going to tell you, because they had to figure out a different way to take Grace out. So everything I'm going to tell you is spot on true. But my speculation is that we signed Grace's death certificate for that specific day because we refused the ventilator for the fifth time. And it wasn't that she needed a ventilator. In fact, nobody with COVID needs a ventilator, but they wanted this pre-authorization in their back pocket so they could do the ventilator whenever they chose. And the ventilator has about a $300,000 payday, which I found out, of course, after the fact, which was obviously their motivation to keep pushing it. So now now the doctor has a phone call with my wife and I that morning at 8 o'clock and tells us how great of a day Grace did. We should work on nutrition. We should get her out of bed today. And, you know, he's framing it as if she's going to be home in 3 to 4 days. So we approve a feeding tube. Ultimately, that wasn't the intention based on the fact pattern I'm going to tell you. So at roughly 10:48, they maxed out the dose of Presidex at 14 times the dose that she started on 4.5 days earlier. 8 minutes after that, they put an illegal do not resuscitate order on Grace, which one of the attorneys who reviewed that sequence suggested that the timing of the DNR, first, we didn't approve the DNR, but the timing of the doctor putting it on is consistent with the idea that they thought the Presidex dose was going to finally take Grace out, but it didn't take her out. So then they proceeded with a feeding tube. Now Grace is nearly knocked out by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but that doesn't stop them. At 5:46, remember I told you the first cause of death was listed as acute respiratory failure caused by the Presidex. The second cause of death, which I'm going to tell you what it was, but what they listed was COVID-19 pneumonia, so they could get a $13,000 bonus. What it was is they had Presidex in Grace's system. Then at 5:46 and 5:49, they gave her two doses of lorazepam 3 minutes apart, which is an anti-anxiety med, which, of course, that makes no sense. Grace is now knocked out. But then right after that, at 6:15, they gave her a dose of morphine as an IV push. So in 29 minutes, she had those three meds in her system that would have taken you out, you and I out, Karen. That's the second cause of death. And in April, so Grace died in October. In April, I had about 500 hours of research in Grace's death, and I finally concluded that she was murdered. And the reason was is I'd learned the sequence of events that had to take place to give her those three meds. So the first thing is, of course, the doctor has to order the meds. That's obvious. The second thing, though, is the pharmacist for the hospital had to sign off on the order. And third is the alarm system for the hospital had to be overridden because those meds are contraindicated according to the morphine package insert. And finally, the nurse in charge of Grace's care that day had 14 years of ICU experience. So she knowingly had to give her those meds. Then we get to the last cause of death, which is the most egregious, which I already mentioned, but how we learned about it was, so the morphine was given at 6:15. At 7:20, Jessica called Cindy, my wife, at NI at home. And Grace was getting cold. She couldn't get the nurses in to help. So she called us and she said, Dad, Grace's numbers are dropping like crazy. And I said, get the nurses in. And she said, I've been trying. They will not come in the room. And no nurse or doctor stepped foot in Grace's room after they gave the morphine, even though the package insert says they're supposed to monitor the patient and keep the reversal drug bedside. So my wife and I start screaming to save our daughter, and they holler back, she's DNR. That's when we learned she was DNR that night. You know, of course, we found it in the records after we received the records after Grace died. And so we screamed back, she's not DNR, save our daughter. And they refused. And we watched Grace die on a FaceTime call at 7:27.
Every time I hear this story, the hair on the back of my neck stands up straight. This is one story. Almost everybody knows somebody who died in a hospital from forced treatment, kept away from their family. Tell us one other thing, Scott, and we are so sorry for your loss, so sorry for what you went through, but families all over this country are going through similar things. They're not famous like the pictures we saw, the celebrities, the athletes, people dying of the jab, which you are now actively involved in fighting against. I want everybody to hear what you found in the records that you subpoenaed about what was mentioned about your particular religious faith.
Yeah, that's really an interesting piece. So we didn't actually have to subpoena the records, surprisingly. So I received what I thought were all the records within a week after requesting them. But then a medical malpractice nurse reviewed the records and she said, Scott, you're missing at least 1,000 pages. So then we sent another request in and she was right. That's where we found the DNR. There was 948 pages missing, but we never had to subpoena anything. But the record you're talking about, you wish you would get these things live because it would give you a clue. But the doctor who was the COVID expert, I have it right in front of me, so I'm going to read right off of it. He's the COVID expert on the floor. And so he wrote in his first report, which was Grace's first full day in the hospital. And just to get a perspective, any doctor that goes into the room to see a patient has to write a report at the end of the day. So this doctor wrote the report at the end of Grace's first day in the hospital, which was October 7th. And he referenced that Grace had Down syndrome four different times. He referenced that we're Christian twice. He referenced that we're not vaccinated twice. In fact, what he wrote regarding not vaccinated, I'm just going to read this to you. He wrote, unfortunately, I think the patient probably would not be here if she had been fully vaccinated. Then we told them what we were doing, which we were following the frontline doctor's protocol with Grace. And he wrote in here twice negative references to that. He wrote, the family was following the frontline doctor's misinformation campaign and placed her on some ivermectin and vitamins and all that stuff. So you can see there was, you know, a very clear bias. And what happened after I realized Grace was murdered is it started to open up my eyes to what's really going on. I was not awake at this point. You know, I was just focused on Grace's death. But then I started digging into, I wonder if this is genocide. And how I got into that is because when Grace got strapped down to the bed, one of the attorneys asked me, do you think you would have been strapped down, Scott? And I said, no, I would not have. I would have made the nurses do their job. But Grace had Down syndrome. I mean, she just was a loving, obedient kid. So she let them strap her down instead of telling them to do their job. And so then I looked at all 22 doctors' reports that were written for the 7 days Grace was in the hospital and found out that they referenced Down syndrome 36 different times.
That 36 times.
That's like saying I have gray hair 36 different times. It doesn't matter. So what is your purpose? And I think I know what the purpose is. And, you know, we can dive into that if we have time.
How many times did they mention that you were Christians all together? I'd
have to look that up. I think they referenced that four or five different times, the not vaccinated. So all the rest of them. So they've referenced frontline doctors, Christian and not vaccinated. Several more times in the records, but substantially less. I was focused on Down syndrome because I suspected genocide. And then, as you know, I started researching the Holocaust and then started working with Vera Sherov, and she really helped me connect the dots as to what's going on here.
Yeah. For our audience, Vera Sherov is a Holocaust survivor. She was very, very young in the Holocaust. She's now in her, 80s?
She's 85.
She traveled to Nuremberg to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Nuremberg Code that protects individuals' rights, patients' rights, not to be experimented on. I think everybody knows, and if you don't, look up the Nuremberg Code, which now what has been done with COVID has violated the Nuremberg Code in numerous ways. I played that video and I got huge pushback and hatred. I was called anti-Semitic for playing a video of Vera Sherov speaking for herself, warning the world that never again could happen again. Now, this cheapening of life, this persecuting people and enemies and blaming them and pointing fingers, justifying persecution is only some of what we are seeing. What I'd like to do, it's such a profound story, I hate to stop, but what I'd like to do is kind of wrap this up. Dr. Donna, by the way, wants to know if you got all the hospital and doctor's records. Did you?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, as we proceed, we have a legal case that is going through the system. And so as we go, when we received the extra 1,000 pages, I had about 300 pages. When they went through those, they said there's still stuff missing, but the only way to get those is once the case is filed in court, then we have subpoena power. So I don't think we have everything, but we've got enough that the attorneys feel comfortable that we have a case.
Okay. What I'd like to do is give you a couple minutes to talk about what you're doing with all this grief and this horror that you experienced, the work that you're doing now, and the way people can get a hold of you and support you in this effort, because you're kind of like the tall nail. You're only one of a few out there standing up and saying, it isn't just me, ladies and gentlemen, it isn't just me. This is happening all over the country. There is a concerted effort to trash innocent life. And people know it, but they're also hopeless. You're not hopeless, you're doing something about it.
So what I'm doing, you know, ultimately we started a foundation and we want to get involved with that to honor Grace's life. But right now, there's no time for that because the message is urgent. So I've been on about 300 radio and TV programs now, just trying to share the message of hospital killings. So there's really three lanes with COVID. There's where did this thing come from? There is the vaccine lane, and then there's the hospital killing lane. And we're in the hospital killing lane. And the reason I'm still in that lane is most people think that this is over. You know, the president on September 19th announced that the pandemic is over, but then on October 13th, which was coincidentally the anniversary of Grace's death, they re-upped the public health emergency. And so by doing that, it continued the immunity from liability that the hospitals have under the PREP Act, and it continued the bonus payments to the hospitals. to frame this, in the first year of COVID, just the first year, the hospital system that Grace was killed at received $10 billion in bonus payments for following protocols that kill people. And, you know, you can't really understand that until you realize the United States is the only one doing that. We only have 4.3% of the world's population, but we're the only country with over a million deaths in hospitals. We have 1.1 million hospital deaths. Number two is India. They have just over 500,000, so less than half of the United States. And their population is four times ours, and their footprint on the planet's only one third. So you start getting a sense that, oh my gosh, the United States really is killing people. And it is not a joke. That's why, you know, Grace's death was not an anomaly. This has become the standard of care. They are trying to take people out. And I can't talk about it enough. That's why there's no time for the foundation right now. I'm doing news programs and very, you know, I'm going to Red Pill next weekend to speak there. You know, all these things take an enormous amount of time. I own a business and I turned my business over to my guys to run because I don't have time. I'm doing this full time.
Yeah. Scott, I want to make a quick comment, then I want you to tell everybody how people can get a hold of you and support your foundation. The comment is, and it gives me no pleasure to say this, but I really want to say it. If people think this is only about money, yeah, money is a big deal. But if people think that all of this is only about money, they're missing the point.
Correct.
Okay. Money is being used to affect an agenda that is more evil and more ugly and more horrible than anything I thought I'd ever live to see. An Israeli top hand of Klaus Schwab, this is not a conspiracy theory, believes human beings are no longer necessary. We're talking about people deciding for others who lives and who dies. So ultimately, no matter what your faith, and everybody knows I'm a nice Jewish girl who isn't all so nice, this is the spiritual war between good and evil and between loving innocent life and loving life and loving light, or loving death and loving darkness. I don't care where you are on the spiritual plane, you either stand for honesty and life, or you stand for death and darkness and tyranny. That being said, tell everybody how they can find you, support you. I encourage you to give money to Scott Shara. He isn't just doing this for himself. He's doing it for everyone.
Well, Karen, first, I'll just say what you just said is spot on. I mean, this is the by far and away the most shocking thing that I've learned as I've become awake. But, you know, I would like people to visit Grace's website. It's ouramazinggrace.net. And in, you know, of course, if people want to give, that's fine. But, you know, I would rather have you take this podcast or some of the things you see on Grace's website and share them. Because if you can share them, if you took something specific off of Grace's website and shared it with everyone on your contact list, now we're making a difference. So helping us out financially is not a hill of beans compared to sharing it with your contact list. So that would be my preference when you visit the website.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Have the courage to stand up and stand for the truth. And if you're being persecuted for it, then you know that whatever they're saying is a lie. Scott Shara, thank you again for your work. Thank you for standing up and thank you for standing up for Grace, your daughter.
Well, thanks for having me, Karen. I sure appreciate it.
My pleasure. We appreciate you. Well, we have only about 5 minutes. And as Julie likes to do, and I like to do, I like to leave on a positive note. It's a horrifying story. It's a terrifying story, what we just did. It's tough to shift gears. But we need to have a sense of humor about other things because, by the way, the left doesn't have a sense of humor. They just don't have a sense of humor. They can't laugh. They're never satisfied, no matter how much power they have. And by the way, don't let anybody tell you that they're the victim because they're acting as if they're not in power during this midterm election, and they just don't want anybody who's not up on the truth to know that they have a monopoly of power in Washington, D.C. They have a monopoly of power in Colorado. And so for them to blame the tiny minority of Republicans and say they're going to crash the economy, that's preposterous. That being said, I want to show you a Joe Biden campaign ad. And I'll preface this by saying, get everybody you know to vote. Do not think about a red wave. Just think about voting and acting like we are behind. That's what they do in the World Series. That's what they do in the Super Bowl. This is the Super Bowl. So we have to log as many honest votes as we can to counteract whatever mischief people are making. And we get to ask those questions. It is not a threat to democracy to ask questions in your government if you live in a democracy. That being said, let's play this Biden commercial.
In 2016, America entered a time of darkness. We elected an orange man who was literally Hitler, and the entire country suffered under his rule. But then, America was saved. Embraced by the loving arms of our new president, Joe Biden. Biden has brought back kindness and decorum.
Look, here's the deal.
No, I wish we were in high school. I could take him behind the gym.
Biden is a voice of clarity.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him...
A voice of reason.
He is the smartest man I know.
They're going to put you all back in chains.
And he's good with numbers.
Let me start off with two words. Made in America.
$700 billion and $1,300,000,000,000.
Under his leadership, the Biden administration has brought us safety. It has brought us economic prosperity. It has empowered the next generation. And now, you have the chance to make sure it continues for another 2 years. This election day, vote for whoever the Biden administration is asking you to vote for. They know what's best. Together, we will ensure things will continue to go the way they've been going forever and ever.
I'm Joe Biden and I approve this, you know the thing. Lexus Rent.
That is the Babylon Bee. And there are a lot of things that help us get through, but one of the greatest is a sense of humor. You may or may not know, I'm a great fan of Mel Brooks, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, all of that. And when Mel Brooks was asked, how could he make the producers and make fun of Nazis and write a song called Springtime for Hitler? It's because he used mockery to show the stupidity. And today there are radical leftists who control the Democrat Party, who not only have lost their sense of humor, but they think that an anti-racism movie like Blazing Saddles is racist because they're just that dumb. So please keep speaking out. If you'd like to follow my show, first of all, thank you everybody who made this show possible. Thank you to Thomas, to BBS Radio. Thanks to Chuck and Julie, who I have a very soft spot in my heart for both of them. I love them dearly. I think they do something nobody does in talk radio. So I love them. And I love their followers because I'm a fan along with you. And so please keep supporting Chuck and Julie. If you'd like to follow my show, we've gone to 3 days a week out of all places, Nashua, New Hampshire. So we do a show at WSMN, 1590 AM, 95.3 FM in the Live Free or Die state of Nashua, New Hampshire. You can go there live Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays now at 1 p.m. Eastern or 11 a.m. Mountain Time. You could call me there. I love taking phone calls on my show, and you don't have to look at this little punim. Punim Yiddish means face. This is my face. I'm not unproud of it, but I love doing talk radio in my slippers. That being said, Party Friday, Cash Friday, Good News Friday. Thanks, Chuck and Julie, and I am out of here.